Chapter 13. Getting into the right business. Success in any particular business depends, for one thing, upon your possessing in a well-developed state the faculties required in that business. Without good musical ability, no one can succeed as a teacher of music. Without well-developed mechanical ability, no one can achieve great success in any of the mechanical trades. Without tact and some sales ability, no one can succeed in mercantile pursuits. But to possess, even in a well-developed state, the ability required in your particular vocation does not ensure getting rich. There are musicians who have remarkable talent and yet remain poor. There are electricians, carpenters, and so on, who have excellent mechanical ability, but who do not get rich, and there are merchants with excellent sales skills who nevertheless fail. The different faculties are tools, and it is essential to have good tools, but it is also essential that the tool should be used in the right way. One man can take a sharp saw, a square, a good plane, and so on, and build a handsome article of furniture, while another can take the same tools and set to work to duplicate the article, but his production will be a botch. He doesn't know how to use good tools in a successful way. The various faculties of your mind are the tools which you will use to do the work which will make you rich. It will be easier for you to succeed if you get into a business which you are well equipped with mental tools. Generally speaking, you will do best in that business which will use your strongest skills, the one for which you are naturally best fitted. But there are limitations to this statement also. No one should regard their vocation as being irrevocably fixed by the tendencies with which they were born. You can get rich in any business, for if you haven't the right talent, it merely means that you will have to make your tools as you go along, instead of confining yourself to those with which you were born. It will be easier for you to succeed in a vocation for which you already have the talents in a well-developed state, but you can succeed in any vocation, for you can develop any rudimentary talent, and there is no talent of which you do not at least have the rudiment. You will get rich most easily in point of effort if you do that for which you are best fitted, but you will get rich most happily if you do that which you want to do. Doing what you want to do is life, and there is no real satisfaction in living if we are compelled to do forever something which we do not like to do, and can never do what we want to do. It is certain that you can do what you want to do. The desire to do it is proof that you have within you the power which can do it. Desire is the manifestation of power. The desire to play music is the power which can play music seeking expression and development. The desire to invent mechanical devices is the mechanical talent seeking expression and development. Where there is no power, either developed or undeveloped, to do a thing, there is never any desire to do that thing. And where there is strong desire to do a thing, it is proof positive that the power to do it is strong and only requires to be developed and applied in the right way. All things else being equal, it is best to select the business for which you have the best developed talent. But if you have a strong desire to engage in any particular line of work, you should select that work as the ultimate goal at which you aim. You can do what you want to do, and it is your right and privilege to follow the business or avocation which will be most congenial and pleasant. You are not obliged to do what you do not like to do, and should not do it except as a means to bring you to the doing of the thing that you do want to do. If there are past mistakes whose consequences have placed you in an undesirable business or environment, you may be obliged for some time to do what you do not like to do, but you can make the doing of it pleasant by knowing that it's making it possible for you to get to the doing of the thing that you do want to do. If you feel that you are not in the right vocation, do not act hastily in trying to get into another one. The best way generally to change business or environment is by growth. Do not be afraid to make a sudden and radical change if the opportunity is presented and you feel, after careful consideration, that it is the right opportunity, but never take sudden or radical action when you are in doubt as to the wisdom of doing so. There is never any hurry on the creative plane. There is no lack of opportunity. When you get out of the competitive mind, you will understand that you never need to act hastily. No one else is going to beat you to do a thing that you want to do. There is plenty for all. If one space is taken, another and a better one will be opened for you a little farther on. There is plenty of time. When you are in doubt, wait. Fall back on the contemplation of your vision and increase your faith and purpose and by all means in time of doubt or indecision, cultivate gratitude. A day or two spent in contemplating the vision of what you want and in earnest thanksgiving that you are getting it will bring your mind into such close relationship with the Supreme that you will make no mistake when you do act. There is a mind which knows all there is to know, and you can come into close unity with this mind by faith and the purpose to advance in life if you have deep gratitude. Mistakes come from acting hastily, or from acting in fear or doubt, or in forgetfulness of the right motive, which is more life to all and less to none. As you go on in a certain way, opportunities will come to you in increasing number, and you will need to be very steady in your faith and purpose, and to keep close touch with the all mind by reverent gratitude. Do all that you can do in a perfect manner every day, but do it without haste, worry, or fear. Go as fast as you can, but never hurry. Remember that in the moment you begin to hurry, you cease to be a creator and become a competitor. You drop back upon the old plane again. Whenever you find yourself hurrying, call a halt. Fix your attention on the mental image of the thing you want and begin to give thanks that you are getting it. The exercise of gratitude will never fail to strengthen your faith and renew your purpose. Chapter 14, The Impression of Increase. Whether you change your vocation or not, your action for the present time must be to those connected with the business in which you are now engaged. You can get into the business you want by making constructive use of the business you are already established in, by doing your daily work in a certain way. And insofar as your business consists in dealing with other people, whether personally or by letter, the key thought of all your effort must be to convey to their mind the impression of increase. Increase is what all men and women are seeking. It is the urge of the formless intelligence within them seeking fuller expression. The desire for increase is inherent in all nature. It is the fundamental impulse of the universe. All human activities are based on the desire for increase. People are seeking more food, more clothes, better shelter, more luxury, more beauty, more knowledge, more pleasure, increase in something, more life. Every living thing is under this necessity for continuous advancement. Where increase of life ceases, disintegration and death set in at once. Man instinctively knows this, and hence he is forever seeking more. The normal desire for increased wealth is not an evil or reprehensible thing. It is simply the desire for a more abundant life. It is aspiration. And because it is the deepest instinct of their natures, all men and women are attracted to that person who can give them more of the means of life. By following the certain way, as described in the preceding chapters, you are getting continuous increase for yourself, and you are giving it to all with whom you deal. You are a creative center from which increase is given off to all. Be sure of this and convey assurance of the fact to every man, woman, and child with whom you come in contact. No matter how small the transaction, even if it is only the selling of a stick of candy to a little child, put into it the thought of increase and make sure that the customer is impressed with the thought. Convey the impression of advancement with everything you do so that all people shall receive the impression that you are an advancing man or woman and that you advance all who you deal with, even to the people with whom you meet in a social way, without any thought of business, and to whom you do not try to sell anything, give the thought of increase. You convey this impression by holding the unshakable faith that you yourself are in the way of increase and by letting this faith inspire, fill, and permeate every action you take. Do everything you do in the firm conviction that you are an advancing personality and that you are giving advancement to everyone. Feel that you are getting rich and that in doing so, you are making others rich and conferring benefits on all. Don't boast or brag of your success or talk about it unnecessarily. True faith is never boastful. Whenever you find a boastful person, you find one who is secretly doubtful and afraid. Simply feel the faith and let it work out in every transaction. Let every act and tone and look express the quiet assurance that you are getting rich, that you are already rich. Words will not be necessary to communicate this feeling to others. They will feel the sense of increase when in your presence and will be attracted to you again. You must so impress others that they will feel that in associating with you, they will get increase for themselves. See that you give them a use value greater than the cash value you are taking from them. Take an honest pride in doing this and let everybody know it, and you will have no lack of customers. People will go where they are given increase, and the Supreme, which desires increase in all and which knows all, will move towards you, men and women who you have never heard of. Your business will increase rapidly, and you will be surprised at the unexpected benefit which will come to you. You will be able from day to day to make larger combinations, secure greater advantages, and go into a more agreeable vocation if you desire to do so. But while doing all this, you must never lose sight of your vision of what you want or your faith and purpose to get what you want. Let me here give you another word of caution in regard to motives. Beware of the insidious temptation to seek for power over other men and women. Nothing is so pleasant to the unformed or partially developed mind as the exercise of power or dominion over others. The desire to rule for selfish gratification has been the curse of the world. For countless ages, kings and lords have drenched the earth with blood in their battles to extend their dominions, this not to seek more life for all, but to get more power for themselves. Today, the main motive in business and the industrial world is the same. Men direct their armies of dollars and lay waste the lives and hearts of millions in the same mad scramble for power over others. Commercial kings, like political kings, are inspired by their lust for power. Look out for the temptation to seek authority over others, to become a master, to be considered one who is above the common herd, to impress others with lavish display, and so on. The mind that seeks for mastery over others is the competitive mind, and the competitive mind is not the creative one. In order to master your environment and your destiny, it is not at all necessary that you should rule over your fellow men, and indeed, when you fall into the world's struggle for the high places, you begin to be conquered by fate and environment, and your getting rich becomes a matter of chance and speculation. Beware of the competitive mind. No better statement of the principle of creative action can be formulated than the favorite declaration of the late Golden Rule Jones of Toledo, who said, "What I want for myself, I want for everybody." Chapter 15, The Advancing Man. What I've said in the last chapter applies as well to the professional and the wage earner as to the person who is engaged in any other business. Whether you are a physician, a teacher, or a clergyman, if you can give increase of life to others and make them aware of the fact, they will be attracted to you and you will get rich. The physician who holds the vision of him or herself as a great and successful healer and who works towards the complete realization of that vision with faith and purpose, as described in former chapters, will come into such close touch with the source of life that he or she will be phenomenally successful. Patients will come in throngs. No one has a greater opportunity to carry into effect the teachings of this book than the practitioner of medicine. It does not matter to which of the various schools he or she may belong, for the principle of healing is common to all of them and may be reached by all alike. The advancing man or woman in medicine who holds to a clear mental picture of themselves as successful and who obeys the laws of faith, purpose, and gratitude will cure every curable case they undertake, no matter what remedies they may use. In the field of religion, the world cries out for the clergy who can teach their congregation the true science of abundant life. Whoever masters the details of the science of getting rich, together with the allied sciences of being well, of being great, and of winning love, and who teaches these details from the pulpit, will never lack for a congregation. This is the gospel that the world needs. It will give increase of life to all, and people will hear it gladly and will give liberal support to the one who brings it to them. What is now needed is a demonstration of the science of life from the pulpit. We want preachers who can not only tell us how, but who in their own persons will show us how. We need the preacher who will himself be rich, healthy, great, and beloved, to teach us how to attain these things, and when he comes, he will find a numerous and loyal following. The same is true of the teacher who can inspire students with the faith and purpose of the advancing life. That teacher will never be out of a job. Any teacher who has this faith and purpose can give it to her pupils, and she cannot help giving it to them if it is a part of her own life and practice. What is true of the teacher, preacher, and physician is true of the lawyer, dentist, real estate man, insurance agent, of everybody. The combined mental and personal action I have described here is infallible. It cannot fail. Every man or woman who follows these instructions steadily, perseveringly, and to the letter will get rich. The law of the increase of life is as mathematically certain in its operation as the law of gravitation. Getting rich is an exact science. The average wage earner will find this as true in his case as in any of the others mentioned. Do not feel that you have no chance to get rich because you are working where there is no visible opportunity for advancement, where wages are small and the cost of living high. Form your clear mental vision of what you want and begin to act with faith and purpose. Do all the work you can do every day and do each piece of work in a perfectly and successful manner. Put the power of success and the purpose to get rich into everything that you do. But don't do this merely with the idea of earning favor with your employer in the hope that she or those above you will see your good work and advance you. It's not likely that they will do so. The person who is merely a good worker, filling their place to the very best of their ability and satisfied with that, is valuable to their employer right where they are, and it's not to the employer's advantage to promote them. That person is worth more where she is. To secure advancement, something more is necessary than to be too large for your place. The person who is certain to advance is the one who is too big for his place and who has a clear concept of what he wants to be, who knows that he can become what he wants to be and who is determined to be what he wants to be. Do not try to more than fill your present place with a view to pleasing your employer. Do it with the idea of advancing yourself. Hold the faith and purpose of increase during work hours, after work hours, and before work hours. Hold it in such a way that every person who comes in contact with you, whether foreman, fellow worker, or social acquaintance, will feel the power of purpose radiating from you so that everyone will get the sense of advancement and increase from you. People will be attracted to you, and if there's no possibility for advancement in your present job, you will very soon see an opportunity to take another job. There is a power which never fails to present opportunity to the advancing man or woman who is moving in cooperation with law. God cannot help helping you if you act in a certain way. He must do so in order to help himself. There is nothing in your circumstances or in the industrial situation that can keep you down. If you cannot get rich working for the phone company, you can get rich on the internet. And if you begin to move in a certain way, you will certainly escape the drudgery of your current situation and get onto the net or wherever else you want to be. Begin this way of thinking and acting, and your faith and purpose will help you quickly see any opportunity to better your condition. Such opportunities will speedily come, for the Supreme working in all and working for you will bring them before you. Do not wait for an opportunity to be all you want to be. When an opportunity to be more than you are now is presented and you feel impelled towards it, take it. It will be the first step towards a greater opportunity. There is no lack of opportunities for the person who is living the advancing life. It is inherent in the physical nature of the cosmos that all things shall be for him and work together for his good. So study this book with great care and enter with confidence upon the course of action it prescribes. It will not fail. Chapter 16, Some Cautions and Concluding Observations. Many people will scoff at the idea that there is an exact science of getting rich. Maintaining that the supply of wealth is limited, they will insist that social and governmental institutions must be changed before a majority of people can acquire a generous income. But this is not true. It is true that existing governments keep the masses in poverty, but this is because the masses do not think and act in a certain way. If the masses begin to move forward as suggested in this book, neither governments nor industrial systems can stop them. All systems must be modified to accommodate the forward movement. If people have the advancing mind, have the faith that they can become rich, and move forward with the fixed purpose to become rich, nothing can possibly keep them in poverty. Individuals may enter upon the certain way at any time and under any government and make themselves rich, and when any considerable number of individuals do so under any government, they will cause the system to be so modified as to open the way for others. The more men who get rich on the competitive plane, the worse for others, the more who get rich on the creative plane, the better for others. The economic salvation of the masses can only be accomplished by getting a large number of people to practice the scientific method set down in this book and become rich. These will show others the way and inspire them with a desire for real life, with the faith that it can be attained, and with the purpose to attain it. For the present, however, it is enough to know that neither the government under which you live nor the capitalistic or competitive system can keep you from getting rich. When you enter upon the creative plane of thought, you will rise above all these things and become a citizen of another kingdom. But remember that your thought must be held upon the creative plane. You are never for an instant to be betrayed into regarding the supply as limited, or into acting on the moral level of competition. Whenever you do fall into the old ways of thought, correct yourself instantly, for when you are in the competitive mind, you have lost the cooperation of the mind of the whole. Do not spend any time in planning as to how you will meet possible emergencies in the future, except as the necessary decisions may affect your actions today. You are concerned with doing today's work in a perfectly successful manner, and not with emergencies which may arise tomorrow. You can attend to them as they come. Do not concern yourself with questions as to how you shall surmount obstacles which may loom upon your business horizon, unless you can see plainly that your course must be altered today in order to avoid them. No matter how tremendous an obstruction may appear at the distance, you will find that if you go on in a certain way, it will disappear as you approach it, or that another way, over, through, or around it, will appear. No possible combination of circumstances can defeat a man or woman who is proceeding to get rich along strictly scientific lines. No man or woman who obeys the law can fail to get rich, any more than one can multiply 2 by 2 and fail to get 4. Give no anxious thought to possible disasters, obstacles, panics, or unfavorable combinations of circumstances. There will be time enough to meet such things when they present themselves before you in the immediate present. You will find that every difficulty carries with it the wherewithal for its overcoming. Guard your speech. Never speak of yourself, your affairs, or of anything else in a discouraged or discouraging way. Never admit the possibility of failure, or speak in a way that infers failure as a possibility. Never speak of the times as being hard, or of business conditions as being doubtful. Times may be hard and business doubtful for those who are on the competitive plane, but they can never be so for you. You can create what you want, and you are above fear. When others are having hard times and business is off, you will find your greatest opportunities. Train yourself to think of and to look upon the world as a something which is becoming, which is growing, and to regard every seeming evil as being only that which is undeveloped. Always speak in terms of advancement. To do otherwise is to deny your faith, and to deny your faith is to lose it. Never allow yourself to feel disappointed. You may expect to have a certain thing at a certain time and not get it at that time, and this will appear to you like failure. But if you hold to your faith, you will find that the failure is only apparent. Go on in a certain way, and if you do not receive that thing, you will receive something so much better that you will see that the seeming failure was really a great success. A student of this science had set his mind on making a certain business combination which seemed to him at the time to be very desirable, and he worked for some weeks to bring it about. When the crucial time came, the thing failed in a perfectly inexplicable way. It was as if some unseen influence had been working secretly against him. He was not disappointed. On the contrary, he thanked God that his desire had been overruled, and he went steadily on with a grateful mind. In a few weeks, an opportunity so much better came his way that he would not have made the first deal on any account, and he saw that the mind which knew more than he had prevented him from losing the greater good by entangling himself with the lesser. This is the way every seeming failure will work for you. If you keep your faith, hold to your purpose, have gratitude, and do every day all that can be done that day, doing each separate act in a successful manner. When you make a failure, it is because you have not asked for enough. Keep on, and a larger thing than you were seeking will certainly come to you. Remember this. You will not fail because you lack the necessary talent to do what you wish to do. If you go on, as I have directed, you will develop all the talent that is necessary to the doing of your work. It is not within the scope of this book to deal with the science of cultivating talent, but it is as certain and simple as the process of getting rich. Don't hesitate or waver for fear that when you come to any certain place, you will fail for lack of ability. Keep right on, and when you come to that place, the ability will be furnished to you. The same source of ability which enabled the untaught Lincoln to do the greatest work in government ever accomplished by a single man is open to you. You may draw upon all the mind there is, for all the wisdom there is, to use in meeting the responsibilities which are laid upon you. Go on in full faith. Study this book. Make it your constant companion until you have mastered all the ideas contained in it. While you are getting firmly established in this faith, you will do well to stay away from places where ideas conflicting with these are advanced in sermons or lectures. Do not read pessimistic or conflicting literature, or get into arguments upon the matter. Do very little reading outside of the writers mentioned in the preface. Spend most of your leisure time in contemplating your vision, and in cultivating gratitude, and in listening to or reading this book. It contains all you need to know of the science of getting rich. You will find all the essentials summed up in the following chapter. Chapter 17, Summary of the Science of Getting Rich. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made, and which, in its original state, permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in this substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. You can form things in your thought, and by impressing your thought upon formless substance can cause the thing you think about to be created. In order to do this, you must pass from the competitive to the creative mind. Otherwise, you cannot be in harmony with the formless intelligence, which is always creative and never competitive in spirit. You may come into full harmony with the formless substance by entertaining a lively and sincere gratitude for the blessings it bestows upon you. Gratitude unifies your mind with the intelligence of substance so that your thoughts are received by the formless. You can remain upon the creative plane only by uniting yourself with the formless intelligence through a deep and continuous feeling of gratitude. You must form a clear and definite mental image of the things you wish to have, to do, or to become, and you must hold this mental image in your thoughts while being deeply grateful to the Supreme that all your desires are granted to you. You must spend your leisure hours in contemplating your vision and in earnest thanksgiving that the reality is being given to you. Too much stress cannot be laid on the importance of frequent contemplations of the mental image, compelled with unwavering faith and devout gratitude. This is the process by which the impression is given to the formless and the creative forces set in motion. The creative energy works through the established channels of natural growth and of the industrial and social order. All that is included in your mental image will surely be brought to you when you follow the instructions given above with unwavering faith. What you want will come to you through the ways of established trade and commerce. In order to receive your own when it comes to you, you must be active, and this activity must consist of more than filling your present place. You must keep in mind the purpose to get rich through the realization of your mental image. And you must do every day all that can be done that day, taking care to do each act in a successful manner. You must give to everyone a use value in excess of the cash value you receive, so that each transaction makes for more life. You must so hold the advancing thought that the impression of increase will be communicated to all with whom you come in contact. The men and women who practice the foregoing instructions will certainly get rich, and the riches they receive will be in exact proportion to the definiteness of their vision, the fixity of their purpose, the steadfastness of their faith, and the depth of their gratitude. The end. If you would like to reach Wisdom Traditions, you may write us at Post Office Box 477, Haddam, Connecticut, 06438, or by calling area code 860-345-1001.